Okay, so please do find a Bible or grab the Bible next to you. And there's our passage, John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54, page 1067 in the church Bibles. Lots of Bibles if you need one. So I'm going to read this short passage to us again, and then we'll hear it preached. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 43. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Great if you could keep it open and have the text in front of you. We're going to look at this together. So when we read the Bible, we want to try and really, really read it, don't we? And understand it. And it's worth paying close attention when we read the Bible, particularly noticing things, especially noticing things that don't seem to fit or kind of seem a little bit out of place. So as that was read, as you've got it in front of you now, is there anything in this passage that seems a little bit peculiar, maybe a little bit contradictory? Just give you a moment to have a look. The actual healing, of course, is epic, isn't it? But what a thing Jesus did. It reveals many wonderful things about Jesus. But there are a number of miracles in the Gospels, aren't there? And perhaps the miracle here is not the main thing. Obviously, I'm willing to be corrected on that. But John has arranged his material around his big aim. You don't need to turn to it, but you can if you want. Chapter 20, verse 31. He writes so that we might believe and have life. That's his aim. He's clear at the end. So as we've seen, and we'll see much more of as well, there's lots in John's Gospel, about believing, about testimony, witness, and so on. So what stands out in this passage? What kind of doesn't seem to fit here? Because it's often the thing that seems a little bit confusing that we kind of tend to skip over and go, oh, don't get that, and move on. But actually, they're the kind of things that we should hone in on. They're usually unlocking, kind of opening the point or the meaning of the passage. And I think in this short passage, we have a classic case of that. So what is it? Well, what if we took out verse 44? Don't worry, I'm not changing the Bible. But just for a moment, I'm going to read 43 to 45 without 44, okay? So bear with me, see if you follow along. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee, verse 45. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Okay, now I'll read it again with 44. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. That seems strange, doesn't it? Yeah, doesn't that sound stand out a bit? You know, I have no honour in my hometown, but then he's welcomed in his home country. So look at verse 48 as well. And again, let me read 47 to 50 without 48. And I think you'll agree it flows very nicely. And then we'll do it with 48. 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. 49, the royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Well, that's lovely, isn't it? But let's read it now with 48 again. It's good to read and reread passages as well. 47, when this man heard Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you'll never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Does that seem an odd fit? Does that verse stand out? "Unless you see, you won't believe." But then, before the son was healed, before seeing, the official took Jesus at his word and believed, didn't he? So two things in this passage suggest that kind of stand out as a bit strange. Maybe they feel like they don't fit. The prophet doesn't have honour in his own town, in his home country. No welcome, but then he's welcomed. And then, well, there's no believing, and then there's believing, isn't there? So what's going on in this passage? Well, let's get stuck in. First title, No Place Like Home. This is usually said in an affectionate sense, isn't it? Ah, there's no place like home. Maybe this Christmas you'll be saying that. If you head back to your where you grew up and so on. I guess we could say this in a different way as well. I don't think we normally do. But we could also say, oh, there's no place like home, is there? Something like that. Obviously, we don't do that, I don't think. But that could also be true, couldn't it? Verse 43, Jesus comes back to Galilee. So home, this is. This is the area he was born. He grew up in. He's back with his own people. So in Samaria, you can see in the passage before, he was, in a sense, in enemy territory. We had that before, didn't we? But after the 2 days, he's back on home soil in Galilee. So if you turn to 7:41, bit of a Bible study this morning. Don't worry, it will turn into a sermon in a moment if you're finding it a bit too study-ish. 7:41, okay, just to remind us and see what's coming. Others said, he's the Messiah. Still others ask, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? He had a bit of contempt and scorn there. Look at 7:52. They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it. You'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Okay, so he is there in Galilee, and later we'll see how much scorn that brings on him. Of course, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, as prophesied, wasn't he? Having grown up, though, in Nazareth in Galilee, he is also a Galilean. Born on earth, but he's from heaven. Always the earthly and the heavenly are side by side with Christ, aren't they? Wonderful. So he's home as he comes to Galilee. He's been in Samaria. What was the welcome like in Samaria? He got a warm welcome in Samaria, didn't he? They said, come and see. Stay. Jesus, stay longer. And he stayed for 2 days. Now he's home in Galilee. You know that feeling when you're home? You're driving up the A12 and there's a sign, Suffolk, welcome to Suffolk. Home. He's home. His own. All good? No. Because as we see in a number of places in the Gospels, Jesus does not get a warm welcome when he comes home, because there's no place like home. Because while home can be the best place, because everyone knows you, it can also be the hardest place, because everyone knows you. Who you are, what you're like, what you were like, those sorts of things. Do you know that feeling? Do you remember that feeling? Maybe when you went home, oh, it's good to be home, oh, back home. And then 5 minutes later, it's like I've never left. So when I go home, I'm kind of still feel like baby Ben, the youngest in the family. So I moved to Suffolk. Yeah, escape. That isn't the reason. But it is a thing, though, isn't it? For a number of us, when we go home. And there's another phrase, isn't there? Familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? Often true. I mean, true for Jesus. Oftentimes, you know, Jesus, we know who you are. We know your parents as well. That sort of thing. I mean, if it's hard for us sometimes going home, everyone knows everything about us. They knew what we were like when we were annoying teenagers and kids. Sorry, teenagers, you know. But they know us. Imagine for Jesus. I'm back. And I'm the savior of the world. I'm God. Really? What happened to him in the big smoke? Too much smoking. Jesus, we helped raise you. We pushed you around the block when Mary was pulling her hair out. I was there, Jesus, when you learnt to walk. Gave you a little clap. I taught you, Jesus, in Bible Explorers. And now you say you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're my creator. Really, Jesus? Can you imagine it? Closer to home, further from honour. That's what Jesus says in verse 44, isn't it? A prophet has no honour in his home country. But here's the thing, verse 45. When he arrives, he is welcomed. Why? Is Jesus wrong? Well, the key is the why and the nature of the welcome Jesus gets as he goes. Why are they so pleased to see him? Second half of verse 45. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. This is important. And it sends us back to chapter 2, verse 13. It's still like a Bible study. Do turn back, if you would, to 2:13. Just one page. Can you see there? When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Chapter 2:13. The Jews would go up to Jerusalem a few times a year. The biggie, of course, is the Passover. So up they would go to Jerusalem, a really big occasion, and they'd all go. The Galilean Jews as well, of course. Kind of the big trip is the church weekend, you know, week. It was a really special thing. Not the Samaritans. They had their own temple and so on. And look at chapter 2, verse 23. What did they see while they were in Jerusalem at the Passover? Verse 23. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Signs, miracles. And they responded, it says, by believing in his name. But verse 24, we had this a few weeks ago. Crucially, how did Jesus respond to their belief? With unbelief. They trusted Jesus. He didn't trust them. Because you can see it there, end of verse 24 and verse 25, it's repeated. He knew what they were like. He knows what we're like. He knew they liked the show. He knew they liked the signs. He knew they liked the miracles. So, back to chapter 4, verse 45, John, very helpfully, reminds us these guys were there in Jerusalem. This is the same crowd as in chapter 2. So they welcome him into Galilee. Yes, it's Jesus. The show is back on the road. The circus isn't, and I don't know the word, is it? But you get what I mean. And they put their faith in him. But what kind of faith is it? Is this faith of the Galileans the same as the ones the Samaritans he's just been with? Is it saving faith? Or is it sign-loving faith? sun-raising faith, superficial faith. Jesus is right. Of course he's right. He is not truly welcomed. The welcome is like that when a hungry person sees a vending machine. Yeah, put the money in and whoa. It's that kind of welcome, isn't it? So when we understand verse 44, we actually understand verse 48 as well. There's no place like home. And this passage, there's no faith without signs, is what he said. So verse 46, the royal official heard Jesus was in Cana in Galilee. So he traveled, and it's about a day's travel. It's 25 miles. That's no small thing. He traveled from Capernaum and he begs Jesus, come heal my son. He's dying. And in verse 48, Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. And it just feels really harsh. Like this man is coming asking for help. And first there's this rebuke. It just seems out of place, doesn't it? And it's a collective rebuke. You people, you lot. I don't know how he said it, but you all. Unless you see. And it's one for all the Galileans. And it's because, of course, Jesus knows what they want. He knows why they're pleased to see him. Yes, Jesus is back. Great. I've got a toothache. And mum's got a bad tum. We're going to be okay. Jesus is here. Jesus takes the opportunity, verse 48, to expose why they like him. And notice here, and you can see it in many other places, Jesus is not into popularity. We love a bit of thumbs up, don't we? A few likes, a few loves. Jesus was often thinning the crowd. It's quite a thing to get your head around, isn't it? He would use a parable. He'd use obtuse words to try and use things to actually cause people to wonder and wander off, to be honest with you. I think he'd have probably turned off the likes and the comments on his Facebook profile if he had one. When so often this is what we seek, isn't it? This is what we love. The crowd, a bit of popularity, a bit of feeling good. What is Jesus into? Not fans. He's into faith-filled followers. He seeks what the Father seeks. True worshippers. And this is a word this morning, or that last bit particularly, probably more for me perhaps than you. You might disagree with me. Because it's the leaders in the church often that are counting heads. Oh, yes, people here today. You know, we want this place rammed with people. We want to build an extension. We want to do these kind of things. We want a visually successful church. Dangerous for leaders just to get people in. Jesus wants worshippers. He seeks the true. And often Jesus therefore sifts using parables. So perhaps instead of starting the service, I'm being a bit provocative here, by the way, as you probably can tell, instead of starting the service with a welcome, great to see you today, maybe the person leading should ask, are you sure you want to be here today? I won't do that. I don't do that. I won't do that, of course. But that was often Jesus' angle. Oh, you Galileans, you just love the show. There's a number of reasons you're here, and most of them, if not all of them, are not the right reasons. Jesus was never impressed with crowds, with fans, was he? And we can't fool Jesus. He knows every mind and heart. He knows every face in the crowd. He knows every motive. He knows why you're here today at church. Verse 49, the man is not put off by this rebuke, is he? His son is so ill, he's just desperate. I wonder how he took it up. Okay, right. And he moves on. Please, please come. It's just on his mind, isn't it? As it would with us, of course. And as we feel when we see children in pain and suffering, it's just heartbreaking, isn't it? It may be in your lives. some part of your family, there's a child who's struggling and suffering. It's horrible. It's in the news, isn't it? Again and again, just children. And it's so sad when anyone is at the point of death, but it's a child, their life before them. And again, just enjoy the compassion of the Saviour. He feels our pain, doesn't he? And he hears our pleas. Good answer from Sammy, wasn't it? Come to him and ask. And he has the power. Verse 50, go, your son will live. And he does live. And the official does the maths and finds out on the road it was the exact time his son recovered when Jesus said he would. It's incredible. We touched on it earlier. And it's a foretaste, by the way, of the glory to come. A foretaste of the time when there will be no illness. There will be no pain in your life. There'll be no weary thoughts. There'll be no worry. For all of those who are with Christ. Because in the presence of Christ, it will be gone. And we see that when he's on earth. Get snapshots of it. So this account is another great pointer to Jesus' love and power. But also, and I think mainly, our tendency to respond wrongly to Jesus. The official has faith. It's great. He takes Jesus at his word. That is a great verse that we'd want to hold on to. But it's not great in this passage that those closest to Jesus don't recognize what he's come to do. And so they kind of want the wrong thing, as it were, or they don't want the main thing. Those closest to Jesus in nationality, in geography, in upbringing, still don't know him. And they just want signs, really, not a saviour. It's our last one as we draw this passage to a close. Now, we can relate, I think, to the father's pain and the desire for a child to be well. But that's sort of the point, really, here. We relate very well, speak for myself, to this sort of want, this sort of longing. God to heal our child. God to help me with my bad back. God to make my life better. And we don't need to be saved to want what the Father wants. It's not necessarily the work of the Holy Spirit in him, in us, to want Jesus to make our lives better. Or to make our lives as we think they should be, kind of pain and problem free. How easy it is for us, how common for us to ask Jesus things like, please sort out my job situation. Or please find me a spouse. Or please God help me, I want to have children. And of course these are all good things, aren't they? Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be healthy, working and so on? But these things aren't the thing, the reason Jesus came, the thing Jesus came to bring. And it's quite striking in verse 47. This man comes with this desperate plea. Verse 48, Jesus rebukes in this moment, in this difficult moment, my son is dying, please come. And he basically says, I know your hearts. I know what you lot want. And unless it's a miracle, you're not interested. And isn't Jesus right? We're honest at times. We're consumers. That's what we're like. We want a fix-it guy, a fix-it God. We have an entitlement issue most of the time. They see Jesus coming and they celebrate. Yes, it's Jesus. We know what you do, Jesus. Do it for us now. Get done what we want, Jesus, please. And this is quite deep in us. Let's just be honest with ourselves for a moment. Serve me. Meet my needs. Do things for me kind of thinking. It's certainly a growing mindset, isn't it? That we kind of feel we should benefit in every situation. We should get something from it. We should get what we want. We should have others do things for us. We have a tendency to feel it's our right to have special treatment, special attention. A traffic-free journey is my problem, one of them. A queue-free shopping. Appointments available when I want them. That's a nightmare, isn't it? No, let's not go into that. But we can get mad quite quickly, can't we, when the queue slows us down, when the computer just spins constantly. It might not be just me, but this is how bad I am, okay? When the online shopping arrives at the door, lorry full of food, okay, came last night. I haven't sown that food. I haven't planted it. I haven't watered it. I haven't harvested it. I didn't even click buy. Thank you, Nicola, for doing that. But when it pulls up and I have to get up and get the food from the door to the fridge, I can moan inwardly. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's outrageous. But not if we want everyone to do everything for us all the time. Couple that with the times, again, I don't think I'm alone, we open the fridge and the thing we want is not there. Oh, I've run out of this. End of the world. We might not say it, but this Jesus do thing for me stuff, or this Jesus what have you done for me lately, is in us. It's in all of us in some degree. Why is it taking so long? Make it happen. This over-familiar, entitled thinking is in each of us in some degree, in our fallen, corrupt humanity. So we want people to fix stuff for us. We want them, expect the plumber to be there the next day or whatever it is. And we exercise a bit because it will do it. We get a pill because it will fix it. Jesus, you then fix this bit and this bit's fixed by that and so on. And in our frantic lives of doing and chasing, we try and manage our lives around us. We're the center, and we make them as best we can, our lives. Fitter, happier, more productive, Orbital fans. Like those who welcome Jesus in Galilee, who want the signs, we want the miracles, we want the life we think we want. Here's the question, do we miss the Savior and the saving we need? The classic, isn't it? Wanting the gift, but not the giver. The power, but not the person. The sign, but not the Savior himself. And Jesus, who knows all people, looks into our hearts. He knows what you want. He knows what you really want, and me. And what you really want, and what I really want, matters. Might not matter to someone next to you because they don't know what you really want. Because we're very good, aren't we, at putting on a show. But God knows what you really want. And the question is it Christ himself? Do you know what you really need? What was missing in the welcome Jesus got? What's the reason for verse 44 and 48? It's the welcome Jesus, welcome. Because we're sinners and we need saving. Oh, Jesus, so good to see you. My heart is just a mess. Jesus, thank you. Please, can you pray for me? You pour your life into me? Because I'm heading over this way right now. Never mind my back. Never mind my problems. Insurance I've got to sort out. It's here, Lord. Please get me on the right path. It's so interesting and it's challenging. In this unit from chapter 2 to chapter 4, the interesting thing is who sees Jesus? Who gets Jesus? Is it those who are closest to Jesus? And this is an alarming finish. Make no apologies for it. Just preach the passage. Is it the closest to Jesus? No, it's not the closest. But in this little section in John, the ones who we don't think would see. So in chapter 2, Jerusalem, which we looked at a few moments ago, many saw and believed, but Jesus didn't believe in them. In chapter 3, the Jewish leader, Nicodemus, an insider, is actually an outsider. Well, that's a surprise. Chapter 4, this passage, Jesus is welcomed to Galilee, but is he welcomed? No. Not truly, in the true sense. In the middle, here's the surprise, chapter 4. The outsiders, the Samaritans, they really welcome Jesus. again and again in the Gospels, the scary thing emerges that we can be in Jesus' hometown, if you like. We can look like insiders. We can be close, even family, and not realize what we need from him. We can actually still seek Jesus for things from him other than what he came to bring. We can be so close, but yet miss him. So last thought, is the rebuke of verse 48 possibly leveled at us in any way? Is the rebuke of verse 48 what we need to hear today? Are we trying to take from Jesus what we want and missing what we really need? Jesus, show up, make things better, give me, do stuff, or Jesus, save me, forgive me, fill me, change me, transform me, redirect me, remember me in glory. So honestly, in your own heart and mind, me too, don't think I'm any better Christian than you are. What do you want from Jesus? What kind of welcome do you give Jesus and me? A Bible verse to learn, you might disagree with this. You might disagree with the whole sermon, actually. Let's talk after. You might want verse 53, because that's a great verse, isn't it? Whole household believed. You might want verse 50b, the man took Jesus' word. Well, you take that and learn that, great. I'm suggesting 48, though. Because personally, I need the sharp edges in the Bible more than I need the cozy stuff. Cozy stuff is easy. It's nice. But you get too much of it. Don't miss the sharp edges. The things that really hit us where we need it at times. Father, we pray you'd show us what we really need. Show us the things and remind us, refresh us again at our time together this morning of what we really need, and it's the gospel of your son, and it's the life of your son, it's all he brings, it's the beauty of Christ in our lives, pushing out the idolatry and the me-centered thinking we often have. Lord, let us be worshippers of Christ. Let us know what we need, and so let us want from Christ the wonderful things he brings. The peace we have with you. A conscience that's clear. Knowing we're forgiven. A life of obedience that follows your commands. That loves your word. Lord, examine the nature of our faith again this morning. That we might be found to be true believers of Christ. And if any here or not, Lord, please would you bring people to faith today. Save sinners, even this morning we pray.